the two next and last presentations on the regularity point of view. Mrs. Yuki Ando from Japan, please.
Thank you very much for inviting me to this wonderful forum and this workshop. So I'm Yuki Ando, senior scientist for biostatistics, and that means I'm a biostatistician in the PMDA. So I'd like to briefly talk about clinical trial of heart failure drugs in Japan. So there is a clear transition of Japanese drug development from the domestic clinical drug development in Japan to the global drug development. And there are three major types of clinical development strategy in Japan now, but the third one, the global development with confirmatory global clinical trial, including Japanese patient, is most popular one recently. So we think that optimal strategy should be employed in consideration of the difference in ethnic factors in disease and drug characteristics and clinical environment. And considering development of heart failure drugs in Japan, so we should think about difference between the several points between Japan and Western countries. For example, the distribution of underlying disease in heart failure is slightly different between the Western countries and Japan, and we use the lower dosage for the drug for heart failure and underlying disease. So clinical data for efficacy and safety of heart failure drugs in Japanese patients should be sufficient, especially for the recommended dose for Japanese. So there is concern that ethnic difference is associated with the difficulty in using foreign data and participating in global clinical trials. And now we have the guidance document on clinical evaluation of heart failure drugs. It was issued in March 2011 and was implemented in April 2012. So there is a several point in the background of the guidance document. Basically, there was an old guideline issued in, I can't remember that, but more than 20 years ago. So it was obviously outdated. So there was a necessity of reflecting the latest knowledge of pharmaceutical medicine. And of course, there is a transition of understanding of heart failure and the purpose of treatment for heart failure from the improvement of hemodynamics to the improvement of survival and QOL of patients. And there was also the necessity of providing trial endpoint for heart failure clinical trials in Japan based on the different background from Western countries I previously mentioned. So so in the acute heart failure part of the guidance document, so it says that the primary endpoint may be success of rescue, including mortality and mobility, and subjective symptoms may possibly be the primary endpoint in such trials. So, and it emphasizes the importance of investigation of not only short-term mortality, but also long-term mortality. That means the drug should not worsen the mortality, and the follow-up period should be more than 6 months. And this is not clearly mentioned in the guideline, but considering the ethnic difference, there is a possibility of conducting domestic confirmatory clinical trials in Japan for the drug for acute heart failure, because trial size will be relatively small for investigating short-term outcome. And in the chronic heart failure part of the guidance document, it says that the primary endpoint should be mortality, and in most cases of the Japanese clinical trials, the morbidity in light of lower mortality from heart failure in Japan. And subjective symptoms may possibly be the primary endpoint in this clinical trial. So there is a possibility of participating in global clinical trials for investigating mortality, because it's difficult to conducting such large-scale confirmatory trial for mortality in only in Japan. But we'd like to emphasize that the careful consideration of ethnic difference and the recommended dose for Japanese patients is needed in that situation. And this is my last slide. Regarding the endpoint of the heart failure clinical trials, the importance of improvement of symptoms such as relief of dyspnea or improvement of QOL in heart failure patients is well recognized in Japan. We think that a drug for improvement of symptoms may possibly be useful unless it worsens mortality. But so far, it's difficult to reach consensus on how to measure and evaluate subjective endpoints in Japan. And we think that the collected clinical trial data with possible variables may be potential evidence for validation. But we also think that we need to carefully review them. And this is an issue not only for clinical development of heart failure drugs, but also for the development of other diseases. And seeking possible surrogate endpoints is also a consideration. For the heart failure drug, biomarkers such as BNP, diagnostic imaging, and improvement of serious arrhythmia or fluid volume. So considering the aging society, so there is an urgent need to develop effective heart failure drugs. We think that we should have continuous discussion with industry and academia to promote efficient drug development for heart failure. So thank you very much.
Yeah, we move to Rob Hemmings.
Okay, so thanks for the opportunity to make some remarks, and these, I'll try and keep it fairly brief, but these are in the direction of really ensuring that everyone's making the most of the opportunities that there are for dialogue with the regulatory system, and perhaps thinking a bit broadly, more broadly than I've heard in the session about opportunities to change the way that drug development's conducted. So firstly, in reaction to a comment from Prof. Mihai, that there's too much of the regulatory focus on industry and no recognition of the huge burden placed on investigators. And I want to just distinguish between the role of the legislators and the role of the regulators. So there are politicians and civil servants in Europe who set legislation, and then there are regulators who enact legislation. So there is, for example, the new clinical trials directive, and I guess this is where the comment about the burden placed on investigators comes, which set out the requirements for clinical trial approvals, and they're the same for industry and they're the same for the academic investigators. There's a new clinical trials directive being written. There's an opportunity for consultation on those. There's parts of that that we as the regulators are not happy with, and so everyone should take the opportunity to comment on that. Where we can criticise the regulators is in terms of the scientific requirements, if you will, so the endpoints, the follow-ups, and perhaps the monitoring. One thing I haven't heard talk about today is the possibility of remote monitoring and monitoring by database, and there's a lot of good work going on in this area and some clever computer systems being developed. There was a comment earlier about regulators not recognising a particular patient population. I'd follow on from the comments of Ankelos that really it's not for the regulator to set the patient population. We have to understand what it is. We have to be able to write it down in a product label at the end of the day, and we have to agree with the sponsor what the endpoints are going to be in that population. But it's really not for us to say you have to develop your particular drug with your particular mechanism in this particular patient population, and I don't think that's how we work. I wanted to make some comments on the role of guidelines, because I guess when people say the regulators want this or the regulators don't want that, what they refer to is the published guidance documents. And guidance documents are written after the fact, if you will. We take the experience across a number of drug development programs, and we set out in the guideline what we've learned and therefore what the standards can be, so that sponsors know how to plan and so that assessors know how to consider data. Where we have the one-to-one discussions about novel proposals for specific development programs, and this picks up on the point made about the endpoint, how do we move forward on this, is that that's what we do in scientific advice. And we can discuss whether you want to use a novel endpoint with time to repeat, the number of repeat hospitalizations, or whether you want to discuss a new patient population. We can do that within the scientific advice, and we do that lots, perhaps less so in cardiology at the moment than we do in some others. We also have a space for informal consultations. It doesn't have to be with a pharmaceutical company. It can be with an academic network or a mixture between the two to come in and say, look, we want to study this new patient population. How should we define it? Which endpoints should we use? Let's have a general conversation. There's a space for that. There's a process for that to happen. Having identified what patient population to use, I heard a comment earlier about involving networks. What I haven't heard is so much commentary on using databases. There was one from Prof. Cleland about some work that had been done in the UK, but when I hear colleagues internally talking about our CPRD database, Clinical Practice Research Data Link databases, and I know that Italy, Sweden, Denmark have sort of comparable efforts, you can learn a huge amount about your patient population, about the sites, about the location, where those patients are, what sort of symptoms are they having, what's the follow-up like, and I haven't heard so much discussion of that. Another good topic for this type of meeting is also data sharing, and whether it's full disclosure of clinical trials, not just highlights from investigators, but full disclosure of clinical trials, positive and negative. So I don't just mean publications, I mean data sharing. Maybe it's your control group, maybe you want to keep your test group to yourself, but sharing all the data so that we can learn from control groups, we can see what's happening in terms of response to treatment over time or symptomatology over time or at baseline. Full data sharing must be beneficial to moving drug development forward in this area. I get the feeling there's no time to talk about endpoints and methodology of endpoints, so I guess I'll leave that for another day. The only thing I really wanted to pick up on was the discussion of using a subjective endpoint in combination with an open label study. And this is always a difficult problem, and we've faced it in other therapeutic areas. And what we would usually ask for is an objective, possibly pharmacodynamic, but an objective endpoint which is not affected by the lack of blinding to sit alongside the subjective endpoint. And of course, what's most important in the example where we were discussing that is the blinding of the patient, it seems to me, not the blinding of the investigator. So there's more I could say, but I get the feeling time is short, and I just wanted to leave you with this thought that as the regulatory system in Europe, we work across the therapeutic areas, and I see much more interaction in oncology than I do in cardiovascular. And that's formal scientific advice, and more importantly, it's discussions in this informal space of how to use biomarkers, how to improve the endpoints. Many, many more discussions for oncology than I see in the cardiovascular setting.
Great. I mean, this is an incredible, very good final conclusion, showing that Fayez, you need to do 6 times a year meetings like this and give more and more time. And at least we understand from Fayez's signs that Chris and myself will never be invited again because we are too late. Thank you for everyone. Thanks.